RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says no anarchy in upcoming Jakarta rally. Cyber police to monitor social media hate crime ahead of elections. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called for people who plan to participate in a rally in Jakarta Friday to do so in a peaceful manner and avoid actions that disrupt public order. Thousands of members of Islamic organizations are scheduled to take to the streets of the capital in protest of a statement made by Jakarta Governor Basuki Ahok Cahyapurnama they deem as religious blasphemy. President Joko Widodo said on Monday, October 31st, that holding demonstrations is a democratic right of the people of this nation, but they should not be intrusive or destructive or cause anarchy. President Joko Widodo also said the government would guarantee Indonesians' rights to express their opinions as long as the protesters respected public order, adding that security personnel would be deployed to secure the rally. He further called for all parties to remain vigilant and uphold ethics when expressing their thoughts through social media, especially since the law has set regulations in regard to the matter. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a meeting with the chairman of Gerindra Party Prabowo Subianto in Bojongkoneng, Hambalang, Bogor, West Java on Monday, October 31st, head of the Press Media and Information Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, said Monday, October 31st in Jakarta that the president met Mr. Prabowo on Monday. Earlier, information from Gerindra said Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Panjaitan accompanying President Joko Widodo for the meeting. Like Subianto, Panjaitan also a high-ranked military officer based on Komando Pasukan Khusus Tin TNI AD or the Army Special Command Forces. Prabowo Subianto welcomed the initiative to hold the meeting at noon. In the other side, President Joko Widodo will hold a meeting with chiefs of 35 mass media at the Presidential Palace in the afternoon after meeting with Prabowo Subianto. The National Police Cybercrime Unit will monitor and tackle hate speech on social media ahead of February simultaneous regional elections, a spokesman said. National Police spokesman Boy Rafli Amar said, the cybercrime unit has been prepared to address religion, ethnic, and racial discrimination on social media, including a new set of procedures to handle violators. Boy said in Jakarta over the weekend that to improve security ahead of local elections, the police plan to conduct cybercrime patrols since hate speech could end with clash or violent acts if those are not handled properly. The newly revised Electronic Information and Transactions Law also provides a legal base to charge people who are accused of defamation and online intimidation. Boy Rafli Amar cited a series of riots in North Sumatra's Tanjung Balai, which saw attacks on several monasteries and Buddhist temples in August. The riot was allegedly triggered via a racially tinged broadcast message spreading among local residents. National Police Criminal Investigative Unit Commissioner General Aridono Sukmanto said his cybercrime unit has been patrolling 24 hours a day in an effort to prevent violations or take legal measures against those already committed. A cargo aircraft flying from Moses Kilangin Airport in Timika to Ilaga Airport in Papua went missing Monday morning, October 31st, Transport Ministry spokesman Bambang Ervan said. Air Flight PKSWW, a De Havilland Canada DHC-4 cargo aircraft, departed from Timika at 7:75 a.m. local time and was expected to land in Ilaga at 8:22 a.m. but lost contact with air traffic control at 8:23 a.m. The aircraft was carrying freight for Puncak District Administration. Bambang stated the authorities have called for help from other aircraft that flew in the Ilaga area, but as of 9:20 a.m., there is no information on PKSWW. The National Transportation Safety Committee and the National Search and Rescue Agency are searching for the missing aircraft and its four-member air crew. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In both Indonesia and the United States, religious freedom is part of every citizen's rights, but each country follows a different system to guarantee it. Political researcher Samsudin Haris from the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, said Pancasila, Indonesia's national ideology, puts unity and harmony above everything. This is why the Indonesian government still includes the Ministry of Religious Affairs and belief in a God remains Pancasila's first principle. The United States takes a different direction to ensure religious freedom, completely separating the church from the state. Despite the different model each country has to guarantee religious freedom, religious pluralism is a universal value that everyone should embrace. A new pencaksilat or martial art is declared as the National Intangible Cultural Heritage for the first time, showed at the UNESCO building in the ASPAC evening event at the UN Education, Science and Culture Organization in Paris. The ambassador, who also Indonesian permanent representative to UNESCO, Fauzi Sulaiman, in London on Monday said Indonesia has an active participation in the implementation of ASPAC event by presenting Pencaksilat Art Show and Indonesian culinary. Ambassador Fauzi Sulaiman also said Indonesia performed the Pencaksilat from the Pencaksilat Group of the Indonesian Embassy in Paris. The performance coincided with one day after it is decided as one of 150 Indonesian intangible heritages by the Ministry of Education and Culture on October 27th. According to Ambassador Fauzi Sulaiman, the decision is a large step toward the nomination of Pencaksilat as the World Intangible Cultural Heritage of UNESCO. The last item. Survive Garage Artist Community celebrates an art expo with residents of Niti Prayan, Bantul, Yogyakarta. The village's young dancers performed sintren dance and bird dance while residents of all age enjoyed the event held on Saturday, October 29. The event, titled Survive Day, was held to celebrate Survive Garage's seventh birthday. Survive Garage was founded on October 18, 2009, and initiated by artist Bayu Widodo at Jalan Bugis Selatan No. 11, Tegal Kenongo, Yogyakarta. Survive Garage currently lives in its new home in Niti Prayan. Bayu Widodo said that they want to build a good relationship and ask for permission from villagers at Niti Prayan. Survive Garage artists are renowned for their artworks criticizing social and political issues. They often sneer at politicians for making promises during elections, criticize destructive practices of mining companies, and encourage people to be more aware of environmental issues. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says no anarchy in upcoming Jakarta rally, cyber police to monitor social media, hate crime ahead of elections. That was the news.
Listener commentary today titled, The Rules of Youth in the Nation's Journey. Youth is the asset of the nation. It is in the hands of the youth lying the future of a nation. History records the rules of youth in the journey of Indonesia. Momentum of the revival of Indonesian youth began in 1908 when Budi Utomo, the first Indonesian youth organization, was founded. The establishment of Budi Utomo becomes the beginning of a movement that aims to achieve the independence of Indonesia. Although the organization was originally intended only for educated Japanese youth. After Budi Utomo, some youth organizations started to emerge, starting from the regional ones such as John Japa or Japa Youth, and John Sumatranen Bond or Sumatra Youth, until the national organizations such as Perhimpunan Pelajar-Pelajar Indonesia Student Association and Perhimpunan Indonesia Association of Indonesia. The climax was the convening of the first Youth Congress in 1926, and the second Youth Congress was in 1928 that resulted the Youth Pledge. Even in 1945, it was the youth who urged Sukarno and Muhammad Hatta to proclaim Indonesian independence immediately after hearing the news that the Japanese surrendered in August 1945. After the independence, the roles of Indonesian youth did not stop there. Many Indonesian youth have got achievements in various fields and brought good name of Indonesia in the international world. The advances in technology as happening today turn out to make the Indonesian youth play more significant roles than the youth in the era before independence, who face many limitations. The availability of facilities does not make Indonesian youth lazy and complacent. The advances in technology and the availability of funds and facilities, on the contrary, make the Indonesian youth more advanced and motivated to do a lot for the country and the nation. The role of the youth is so big for the development of the nation that the past Indonesian President Sukarno once said, "Give me 1,000 old people, I will undoubtedly pull Mount Smeru out from the roots. Give me 10 youth, I will undoubtedly shake the world." Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet you again in our daily program Today in History over Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on October 31st, 1922, when Benito Mussolini became the youngest prime minister in Italy. Benito Amilcare Andrea Mussolini was an Italian politician, journalist, and leader of the National Fascist Party, ruling the country as prime minister from 1922 to 1943. He ruled constitutionally until 1925, when he dropped all pretense of democracy and set up a legal dictatorship. In 1912, Mussolini was the leading member of the National Directorate of Italian Socialist Party, PSI. Prior to 1914, he was a keen supporter of the Socialist International, starting the series of meetings in Switzerland that organized the communist revolution and insurgents that swept through Europe from 1917. Mussolini was expelled from the PSI due to withdrawing his support for the party's stance on neutrality in the World War II. He served in the Royal Italian Army during the war until he was wounded and discharged in 1917. Mussolini denounced the PSI, his views, now in centering on the nationalism instead of socialism, and later founded the fascist movement. Following the March on Rome in October 1922, he became the youngest prime minister in Italian history until the appointment of Matteo Renzi in February 2014. The next event was in 1984 when Indira Gandhi was assassinated. Indira Gandhi, the third prime minister of India, was assassinated on 31st October 1984 at her Sadarjung Road, New Delhi residence. She was killed by two of her bodyguards, Satwan Singh and Pian Singh, in the aftermath of Operation Blue Star, the Indian Army's June 1984 assault on the Golden Temple in Amritsar, which led the Sikh temple heavily damaged. And the last event was that Mahathir Muhammad resigned after 22 years in office. Tun Dato' Sri Dr. Mahathir bin Muhammad is a Malaysian politician who was the fourth Prime Minister of Malaysia. His political career spanned more than 70 years since he first joined a newly formed UMNO in 1946. Born and raised in Alor Setar, Kedah, Mahathir excelled at school and became a medical doctor. He became active in the United Malays National Organization, UMNO, Malaysia's largest political party, before entering parliament in 1964. He served one term before losing his seat, subsequently falling out with the then Prime Minister Tunku Abdul Rahman and being expelled from UMNO. When Abdul Rahman resigned, Mahathir re-entered UMNO and parliament and was promoted to the cabinet. By 1976, he had risen to the PG Prime Minister and in 1981 was sworn as a Prime Minister. At UMNO's General Assembly in 2002, Mahathir announced that he would resign as a Prime Minister, only for supporter to rise to the stage and convince him truthfully to remain. He subsequently fixed his retirement from October 2003, giving it time to ensure an orderly and uncontroversial transition to his anointed successor, Abdul Badawi. Having spent over 22 years in office, Mahathir was the world's longest-serving elected leader when he retired. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is the ease of doing business rating in Indonesia increased 15 points. The World Bank, in its latest annual report on doing business ratings, announced that Indonesia managed to set a record by doing 7 reform efforts over the last few years. In the report on doing business 2017, Equal Opportunity for All, launched in Washington on Tuesday, Indonesia was included in the 10 countries that achieved the highest improvement. In the world rankings, Indonesian position rose 15 points to 91st this year. In 2015, Indonesian rating was on 106th. Indonesian reform efforts in the past years, as measured in the Doing Business report, are starting a business, getting its electrical connection, registering property, getting a loan facility, paying tax, trading cross-border and contract enforcement. The website www.worldbank.org reported. World Bank Country Director for Indonesia, Rodrigo Safas, said that Indonesian government has done a lot to improve the quality of the business environment for the private sector, particularly over the last 3 years. Rodrigo said that the global business community and local businesses will be encouraged by the ease process of doing business in various fields. Responding to the achievement of this rating height, Chairman of Investment Coordinating Board BKPN Thomas Lembong said the rating increase reached by Indonesia is the largest in the history of its Doing Business Index. He also said that the increase up to 15 points within a year is unprecedented. Thomas Lembong said President Joko Widodo, however, is not satisfied with the rise in the rating. The president asked PKPN to further improve its performance so that the rating continues to rise significantly. The government also continues to promote the development of investment in order to stimulate the economy to various regions in Indonesia. He said equity investment in the regions become one of the government's missions so that people can also feel the economic development.
Saya sih melihatnya bahwa perkembangan investasi di daerah-daerah di luar Jawa ya masih di tahap awal.
I see that the development investment in the regions outside Java is still in the initial stage. It is still at the beginning. I've seen the signs that it has begun to get there, but the number of bases is still relatively small. Although the growth can be tens of percent or 100%, the absolute figure is still small. Take for examples, there are signs of development of investment in remote areas or in Manado, North Sulawesi. PKPN press release reveals that the realization of five largest foreign investment came from Singapore with a value of $2.2 billion, Japan $1.6 billion, the People's Republic of China $0.6 billion, British Virgin Islands and Netherlands $0.5 billion respectively. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, coming up next, news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called for people who plan to participate in a rally in Jakarta Friday to do so in a peaceful manner and avoid actions that disrupt public order. Thousands of members of Islamic organization are scheduled to take part to the streets of the capital in protest of a statement made by Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama that he deemed as religious blasphemy. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a meeting with the chairman of Gerindra Party Prabowo Subianto in Pojong Koneng, Hambalang, Bogor, West Java, Monday, October 31st, head of the Press Media and Information Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, said in Jakarta that the president will meet Mr. Prabowo on Monday. The National Police Cybercrime Unit will monitor and tackle hate speech on social media ahead of February's simultaneous regional elections, a spokesman said. A cargo aircraft flying from Moses Kilangin Airport in Timika to Ilaga Airport in Papua went missing Monday morning. Transport Ministry spokesman Bambang Ervan said, Air Flight PKSWW, a De Havilland Canada DHC-4 cargo aircraft, departed from Timika at 7:75 a.m. local time and was expected to land in Ilaga at 8:22 a.m., but lost contact with air traffic control at 8:23 a.m. In both Indonesia and the United States, religious freedom is part of every citizen's rights, but each country follows a different system to guarantee it. Political researcher Samsudin Haris from the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, said, Pancasila, Indonesia's national ideology, puts unity and harmony above everything. A new pencaksilat or martial art is declared as the National Intangible Cultural Heritage for the first time, showed at the UNESCO building in the ASPAC evening event at the UN Education, Science and Culture Organization in Paris. Survive Garage Artist Community celebrates an art expo with residents of Niti Prayan Bantul, Yogyakarta. The village's young dancers performed Sintren dance and bird dance while residents of all age enjoyed the event held on Saturday, October 29. The event, titled Survive Day, was held to celebrate Survive Karash's 7th birthday. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in our program Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary arts, the fine arts, the culture, and various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we invite you to visit Malang, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Malang is one of cities in East Java Province, which is called City of 1000 Beaches. Besides beach, Malang also has many beautiful tourism objects, such as cave, waterfall, and even beach, which is worth and interesting to be visited. One of them is Batu Bengkung Beach. Batu Bengkung Beach is located at Gajah Rejo Village, Gedangan sub-district in Malang Regency. Why this beach is called Batu Bengkung Beach? Because at the beach, there is coral reef which stretches very long between two hills and can withstand waves. The location of the beach is not far from Malang and only takes around 2 hours by car. Listeners, directly facing Indian Ocean makes Batu Bengkung Beach having perilous wave. Because of that, visitors are prohibited to swim. In certain time, the wave can be broken by rows of coral reef which stretch along the beach. Seawater which passes the coral reef will be trapped at coral reef cavity. It makes the cavity like basin. The uniqueness of the beach is curved stone at the beach. This stone becomes icon of Batu Bengkung Beach. You can also find a hill where you can enjoy beautiful nature surrounding the beach more clearly. You can climb and walk around 15 minutes at the narrow route, which is at the west of the hill at the cliff. Here, you must walk carefully because there is no secure facility at the edge of the hill. When you reach the cliff, you will see exotic scenery, namely expanse of long and flat stones which rise to the blue sea. Listeners, at Batu Bengkung Beach, you can also see beautiful sunset due to the beach directly faces to the west. Because of that, before the sun sets, the beach is visited by many tourists. Most tourists set tents at surrounding beach. The beach also provides some facilities which are needed, such as toilet, parking lots, and stalls. Listeners, to enter Batu Bengkung Beach area, you do not have to worry because the ticket price includes parking fee. While if you want to set a tent at the beach, there's extra charge. If you do not decide your destination for your holiday yet, Batu Bengkung Beach can be your choice. Listeners, if you are satisfied to enjoy the beauty of Batu Bengkung Beach, you can try typical traditional foods around Batu Bengkung Beach. Well, listeners, That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Batu Bengkung Beach in Malang, East Java. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Rumah Baru, which in English means new house, stagent. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Rumah baru. Rumah baru, which means new house. Kemarin. Kemarin, which means yesterday. Pagi. Pagi, which means morning. Pergi, pergi, which means to go. Kakak perempuan, elder sister. Kakak laki-laki, elder brother. Pindah, pindah, to move. Kemana, kemana, where. Pinggiran. Pinggiran, suburbs. Suka, suka, to like. Daerah, daerah, region. Bagus, bagus, good. Ramai, ramai, crowded. Halaman, halaman, yard. Luas, luas, large. Belakang, belakang, at the back of. Pohon mangga, mango tree. Pohon pepaya, papaya tree. Depan, depan, in front of. Kebun bunga, kebun bunga, flower garden. Kantor, kantor, office. Dekat, dekat, near. Stasiun kereta api, stasiun kereta api, railway station. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Rumah Baru, or in English means new house. The conversation is between A. Susan and B. Tuti at the office. A. Susan. Tuti, kemarin pagi kamu pergi kemana? Tuti, kemarin pagi kamu pergi kemana? Which means, Tuti, where did you go yesterday? B. Tuti, saya pergi dengan kakak perempuan saya ke rumah kakak laki-laki saya. Saya pergi dengan kakak perempuan saya ke rumah kakak laki-laki saya. Which means, I and my elder sister went to my elder brother's house. Dia baru pindah rumah. Dia baru pindah rumah. Which means, he has just moved to a new house. A. Susan. Dia pindah ke mana? Dia pindah ke mana? Which means, where does he move? B. Tuti. Dia pindah ke pinggiran Jakarta. Dia pindah ke pinggiran Jakarta. Which means, he moves to the Jakarta suburbs area. A. Susan. Apakah kamu suka dengan rumah itu? Apakah kamu suka dengan rumah itu? Which means, do you like the house? B. Tuti. Saya suka sekali. Saya suka sekali. Which means, I like it very much. Daerahnya bagus. Daerahnya bagus. Which means, it is a good area. Tidak begitu ramai. Tidak begitu ramai. Which means, not too crowded. Dan halamannya luas. Dan halamannya luas. Which means, and it has large yard. Di belakang rumah itu, ada pohon mangga dan pohon pepaya. Di belakang rumah itu, ada pohon mangga dan pohon pepaya. Which means, there are mango and papaya trees at the back of the house yard. Dan di depan rumahnya, ada kebun bunga. Dan di depan rumahnya, ada kebun bunga. Which means, and the flower garden in front of the yard. A. Susan, apakah kakak laki-laki kamu suka rumah itu? Apakah kakak laki-laki kamu suka rumah itu? Which means, does your elder brother like the house? B. Tuti, tentu saja. Tentu saja, which means, surely. Selain tidak jauh dari kantornya, rumah itu juga dekat dengan stasiun kereta api. Selain tidak jauh dari kantornya, rumah itu juga dekat dengan stasiun kereta api. Which means, besides being near from his office, the house is also near to the railway station. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. And sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to the Kroncong songs sung by talented Indonesian male singer Didi Kempot. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Sampul Surat by Didi Kempot. Happy listening.
Datanglah
The song Sampul Surat tells about a woman who, waiting for a letter from someone she beloved, immeasurably happy when the letter coming, but how she sad because she received only a mere envelope. Listener, Didi Prasetyo, or more popularly known as Didi Kempot, is a singer who comes from Surakarta or Solo, Central Java. Didi, who was born on December 31, 1966, is known as Campursari singer. However, he is also able to bring other genre songs well, including Kroncong music. In addition to Didi Kempot, the city of Solo is also the hometown of the Indonesian Kroncong maestro, Gesang. Didi Kempot not only known in Indonesia, but also abroad, such as in Suriname. He not just singing in Indonesian, but also in the Dutch. Didi began to be known in Suriname in 1980s, and the album then immediately got award as the best album. Besides Didi Kempot, Waljinah also popular in Suriname, since the Javanese community in Suriname reached 15% from the total population of the country. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan by Didi Kempot. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
The song Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan is a pop genre song, which then is dedicated in Kroncong genre. Although it classified as an old song, but the song is still good memories to listen. The song tells us about a man who had come to the city with the beautiful memories ever engraved. Although they already run their own lives, the wonderful memories they have will never be forgotten. Listener, as a singer and songwriter, Didi Kempot always tries to raise the potential of the region, such as the natural beauty, culture, and typical foods. Moreover, not all people know about the culture and uniqueness of areas in Indonesia. This is seen in Didi Kempot's song composition, such as Stasiun Balapan, Kuto Sewu, and Prawan Kalimantan. He hopes the support of the local government or the city can ease artists in making video clips to promote the local culture through music. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Apa Salah dan Dosaku and Mengapa Harus Berjumpa by Didi Kempot. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.